Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Hi. Mr. Pick Me and the Man Hater Show. I am your host, Reagan, and I am known as Man Hater, even though I don't hate men.
Wait.
No. Chesco's left. All that's left is his spinning chair.
Hello. I don't have my headphones on, so I can't hear anything, but I feel like this should be the show.
Is that He-Man here?
Yes. He-Man.
That's the most disturbing thing you've done thus far. Jessica returned with a hard shell He-Man hairdo.
I'm thinking about being Prince Adam. Oh, I'm Mr. Pick Me, Chesco.
Oh, thanks.
Even though I've already been picked. I'm thinking about, this is like, my kids are getting older. I only have so many like Halloweens left where I can embarrass them. And so I think I'm going to lean in and go as Prince Adam, you know, with the pink, the full, have you seen Prince Adam before?
I don't think so.
It's He-Man when he's in his casual form.
Oh, okay.
It's like pink and purple. So it'll be like, I'll have the helmet, the pink and purple kind of like outfit on. And then like, I'll have a sword and a shield.
You should do it.
I think I will. I think it'll be, cause I don't think I'm going to do the, like, what are the loincloth that he wears? I think I'll wear purple
don't
shorts
do that.
Cause I feel like that would maybe, make me look like a predator at that point. You know, if
a threat to society.
Yeah. Like if I'm walking down with the Halloween in a purple loincloth, I don't think, and this is great audio content, is that if I were to like print this in brown, I have a little lad or like black, the little lad from Berries and Cream.
Berries and Cream. Or Lord Farquaad.
That was my wife. That was her first thought. So either way, there's
lots
so many
options.
So many options, you know, but I saw this is one of my favorite things I've ever printed. And it fits me. I figured out how to size helmets correctly now.
Nice.
And so I, you know, it's working out good for me.
Wow. Great.
I'm happy.
You just better not be printing any of these things.
I'm not printing anything today, even though
I have
two printers in my office now. They sent them to me. It's not my fault.
When you're printing during the show, it is.
Well, that is my fault, but owning them is not my own fault.
Right? You accepted the printer.
Well, are you going to say no to a $3,000 machine? You'd be like, no, no thing. And they're like, no strings attached. You don't have to give us anything. They were aware that I was going to make content with them anyway. So it's obviously free advertising, but
I feel like this is going to be like a, what was the, Transformers, when they're like Decepticons were in crazy.
My office is just completely robbed when I get home. What happened?
Decepticon. But it made a great print.
It is fun. What did I show you? This I made a there's a He-Man one.
And Chesco showing us the things he's made for all of the listeners.
And a Skeletor one.
Very cute, very special, very not helpful for our audio listeners.
I have so many more I could show you right now. I won't, because I don't. Here's the thing. I think we as humans in this the time we're living in our society need to indulge ourselves in whimsy a little more. Right?
I agree.
I feel like we hold ourselves to this standard of being angry all the time, which I am still angry all the time. But I feel like it burns us out, like where we can't and that's, you know, somebody with my own mental health problems going on too. Mm. But like if I'm just angry all the time and not doing anything else, I burn out. Like I just can't talk about it anymore. Like and so I feel like this is a way to to remind myself that there's joy in the world, right?
I get it. That's fair.
I mean, my kids aren't doing that, right? My family's not doing that.
Yeah.
You know, so the only way for me to remind myself of joy is by printing things out of PLA.
That's on manhood.
That's on manhood. That's
nothing else brings me joy. But
I think it's also my wife laughs because I think it's because, you know, not to get too deep here, but like, you know, I didn't really have a great childhood, right? I didn't get a lot of fun stuff. And so now it's like, oh, being an adult with money, I can do these things. And it's not even that, like, because of the fact, I mean, I'm very privileged in the sense that they sent me these machines for, you know, not everybody has a platform of millions that will, or companies will be like, yeah, we'll send you this machine. I don't know if you know that. Not everybody has a giant platform.
Or is 6'5".
Or is 6'5". I wasn't going to bring it up this time.
Just your following.
Yeah. And, and the, so it's, I'm, you know, why not indulge? Why not have some fun?
I think that is true. If like you weren't able to be a kid when you were a kid because you had to grow up quick. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like as an adult, you will like participate in things that give you that feeling, which I think is great.
And like, there's unhealthy ways to do it, I think. And there's healthy ways to do it. Sure. I'm home like this. I can press print and then, you know, go off and do little things. Although the other night,
you're not leaving your family to go print somewhere.
I am like, it is like an AD, like a hyperfixation point where the other night after dinner, I went to the restroom and then I was like, my brain was like, oh, you need to check on this. And then you got to do it. And so my wife texted me like 20 minutes later. She's like, where the fuck are you? I just cleaned up all dinner by myself because like, you better be in the bathroom, right?
I swear, you better be in distress in there.
And I was not. I was, my brain just went like, it was like, oh, my office is right over there. I can go
just check on my print.
Check on my Skeletor print. And it's, oh, it's ready. I can put it together now.
She just comes and you're like, oh, sorry.
Yeah. What did she? Yeah. She did walk into my office, and it was like she caught me like watching porn or something. I was like, "Oh God, I'm sorry, I didn't. I'm not doing anything."
She's like, "I would have preferred it.
I know, I would prefer it if you were doing something illicit.
You're just putting together Skeletor.
Negligent and intentionally ignoring your family."
Oh my God.
Speaking of families.
I saw a video that I think would be interesting to break down. I have not seen the follow-ups. There's a couple follow-ups that I haven't seen yet, so it's going to be a journey for both of us.
Sure.
But basically, this woman came on the internet and said, you can request an IEP meeting during the summer. So is it an individualized education plan?
Yeah.
Okay, so for those of you who don't know, well, you tell them. Why don't you tell them?
Sure, well, do we want to do a theme song first?
Well, just quickly tell them what an IEP is.
So I have two of my children have IEPs, and it's for children typically with disabilities. It's a way to – it's their educational plan to make sure they get access to their education, right? And so it's, do they need a one-on-one aid? Do they need access to a quiet area? Do they need certain – it's basically just making sure there was a plan on paper showing what the school is doing to make sure the your child has full access to their education under the law.
For the school year.
Yes, during the school year.
Right. So she comes on and is telling all these people to do an IEP and during the summer, asking for meetings during the summer for
this. When no one's there.
When no one is there. Definitely not the teachers who know your child. Mm-hmm. And teachers came back and were like, no, wait a minute.
Yeah.
And she proves a theory that I have, which is that you don't really know a person till the second video, till the response. Because there's so many times I'm like on the fence about a person and their perspective, and then they come out with the second video after the first one goes viral, and you're like, okay. So you're
just a shitty person.
You might be the problem, because her attitude towards teachers, I think, might surprise you.
Theme song.
So grab your popcorn, thank me later, don't want to miss it.
So this really blew up in this woman's face. And like, the craziest thing is, this is like her first couple of videos. Like, she went viral with this IEP meeting like video. I think she was like 2 to 3 videos ever posted. Mm. So this thing blows up. So let's start with that video.
Sure, the very first one.
We're just going to... Yeah, we're going to start with the first one, and we're just going to go through this journey with her.
Okay.
The answer is yes. Yes, you can request an IEP meeting during the summer. If your child's yearly was in December, it was in November, you do not need to wait until next December, next November to update their IEP. Submit a letter to your school in writing. Email is usually fine. I'm going to post below like a very short email template. Just because school is closed, the administrative offices should remain open, and you can absolutely request that interim meeting if you know that things have changed with your child since last November, December, and you want to update their services, their placement for this upcoming school year. So absolutely, you can request an interim meeting during the summer. Yes.
I'm guessing from her handle that she is a child with autism.
Mm-hmm.
That's ASD. Is it autism spectrum disorder?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I thought. Mm-hmm. So that is my assumption based on clear evidence. But the interesting thing is, like, right out of the gate, I don't think her attitude is quite clear. Like, I think she could be, you know, someone who's entitled. She could also be someone who's just really trying to look out for their child.
Mm-hmm. Because the thing is also, like, you can request one. Like,
you can request a lot of things.
You can request a lot of things over there. But, and this is, I also want to be clear, everything I'm saying in this video, because this is part of the problem, is every state is also different with all these things. There is IDEA, which is the federal, law that governs all this, but every state is still extreme. And honestly, every district within the state is, and it's a huge issue. And I also want to connect, because this is so funny. I'm working right now. I'm gonna try to put up a petition. Because we just went through a horrible issue with my daughter's IEP, year-long issue with it. And this is my wife and I are both educated, intelligent people, right? I'm a researcher by trade. That's what I do for a living. And I still struggled so hard to the point where we were going to hire a lawyer, even though we don't have the money because they're expensive.
Sure. For those things.
So I'm actually going to put forward, and it's going to be I'm in California. Everything I say is based on California. So that's what I know more than anything. For the state to create an agency that will give basically an IEP advocate free of charge to any family that requests it. And so because of the fact that I do think we have a very good team at my school. I actually really like the team we had, and it still was not a great experience. It was still a shitty experience at times because it's so much information. It's so overwhelming. And it really wasn't the local care team that we had an issue with. It was the district liaison. We don't need to get into all that because they're the more administrative aspect of everything. But even so, I'd leave feeling like I don't even fucking know what. And so I'd have to spend the next week going through, because you have to request in advance a record each meeting. I'd request a record each meeting, go through it again, spend a whole week just trying to digest and look up everything that was brought up during the meeting to get things done. And I still didn't know everything. And so anyways, long story short, I do think it's a really great idea that is really terribly done. And so I'm trying to make it where more parents can have an aide or an advocate that is not part of the process, that can basically be the translator for people. Anyways, that was kind of a tangent. This is a very hard thing, right, to go through.
I agree.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have my sibling is a OT. Mm-hmm. And so she deals with, like, she's a part of plan. You know, she has told me many times about the pitfalls that go on trying to take care of children and make sure they're given the resources they deserve. I absolutely.
And the schools are underfunded. Right. They don't have nearly enough resources for the kids that need it. There's actually a whole thing going on right now where there's violence against teachers is going up in a lot of districts.
Yes, they're getting hit.
Mm-hmm. As a result of this.
There's so much stuff that gets blamed on kids, but it's like if their home life is ridiculously different and the expectations are ridiculously different, like the kids are not going to thrive because it's like, wait, at home, because I don't even get into it, but there's even like a lot going on where there's a lot of moms who will let their sons mm-hmm. like beat on them at home.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do the same at school.
Right.
And they're beating on the women that work there.
Right.
Seemingly, I'm hearing more about women getting beat. I'm sure mm-hmm. any gender can get hit. Whatever.
Well, I mean, K through 12 is the majority of them are, they're just by percentages, the teachers are women in general.
Yeah, right, yeah. right. But I think like, mm-hmm. anyways, there's yeah. a lot that can go wrong. You know, a lot of parents are doing their yeah. absolute best. A lot of parents are being let down.
Mm-hmm.
So
there's good and bad. Like, and it's one of those things where I think this is I just want to make sure early on in this episode, we're not shitting on care teams. We're not shitting on parents. We're not doing anything. This is a very specific thing we're talking about.
Well, and I think that's fair, but it's like at this point, it's very unclear what's happening. It could be a parent that is not getting, like to your point, the resources they need, or it's not clear to them. And so they're having mm-hmm. to do what they can to support their kid. Like, mm-hmm. I think this one is very like, we don't know yet.
Right.
From video one.
Right. At this point, it sounds like, I don't, in most cases, you cannot call an IEP meeting over the summer because like part of the care team is the teacher that is not there in the summer. Like their homeroom, and they don't even, in the middle of summer, they don't even have their teachers assigned yet for the next year. And so it's kind of, not that it would be useless, but it would not be nearly as meaningful, I guess, even with changes.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was what a lot of teachers were saying, because a lot of mm-hmm. teachers and probably just educators and maybe faculty, whatever, was getting in this woman's comment section, essentially saying the same thing and saying like,
right.
their teacher's not going to be there. Like
right.
it's one thing if you don't expect the teacher to be there and mm-hmm. you just want to talk to whoever's there.
Yeah. Yeah. You can always meet with whoever's there.
And then that case, it's like, they're not going to know your kid. So you
right.
could bring it up, but they're not going to understand mm-hmm. like the complexity of your mm-hmm. kid's situation or the specifics. So it's like, mm-hmm. they're basically like, I don't know what that's going to do for you. But additionally, there was kind of people saying, are you expecting that the teacher's coming in?
Right.
And we're in a time where teachers are completely overworked, mm-hmm. underpaid, their classrooms are too big. I really do get why maybe she got a bad response. Again, mm-hmm. it is not clear where she's standing. She could have easily come back with a video that was like, I did not mean the teacher's coming back. That's not mm-hmm. what I meant. I just meant in general. I appreciate the situation teachers are in.
Right.
That's not where I was coming from.
Right. Because the assumption is also that teachers aren't doing anything over summer. You know, they're clearly right. not doing any work whatsoever. Most of them are working their side jobs.
And
either teaching summer school.
Right.
Tutoring, doing some sort of a job that they haven't had. Because I don't know any teacher, like honestly, that doesn't have
either.
At least another job. Because it is yeah. such an underpaid profession. I'm sure they exist, but in general, almost every single teacher I know has a whole separate gig doing something right. else during the school year, as well as, but especially during the breaks.
And even if they didn't, mm-hmm. even if they were literally twiddling mm-hmm. their thumbs at home,
yeah.
that's their right. It's
right.
That's the nature right. of the job.
Absolutely.
And again, like my whole thing is, would you expect that of yourself? Like if right. you have a job, would you expect that someone could just say, I know you're off right now.
Yeah, I know your time's
come
off.
Come in.
Yeah. Yeah. Imagine right? being called in on the weekend at your job. Like, hey, we need you to come in on Saturday. No pay.
Yes, exactly. They're not paid for that time.
And we need you to do the most stressful part of the job.
Right.
All right. The hardest right. thing on a day that you weren't expecting to come in and you're not going to be paid for. Is that cool? You're cool
you
with
good
that,
with
right?
That?
You wouldn't, yeah. you have zero, zero reservations about that, right? That's
okay. So as I said, there's a million different videos she could have made that maybe would de-escalate the response right. and reaction.
Because you're right. At this point, it is just, it could be a misinterpretation. It could be any sort of number of things going on right now.
And then we get her response.
Okay.
The comment is, F no, don't bug me. Which again, like, I don't think that's unfair.
No, it's not. I think it's funny.
I think it's funny.
Yeah.
Like, it's also like, I feel like there's an unrealistic expectation mm-hmm. of how teachers should behave. Like, there's teachers right. who have gotten fired because there's a photo of them having an alcoholic beverage.
Right, right.
Online. And it's right. like, teachers are people. Like, mm-hmm. you're asking a teacher to come in when they're off. Mm-hmm. So, like, a random teacher can say, yeah, don't bug me. Like, yeah. it wasn't like, I hate you.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like, no.
So I want to highlight this comment up here that was left by an educator, you know, not to kind of flame negativity, but to highlight the fact that our teachers are also really overwhelmed. And that's why we created the platform at the Village. It's really to put our parents and our educators on more of an equal playing field so that we can communicate better about our children's education, specifically about their IEPs. So, you know, parents on our side, we need to think about how overwhelmed the teachers are with all the kids that are kind of coming through the system. Teachers, I really do empathize with how kind of overwhelming the system can be for you guys too. Those IEPs are 20 to 50 pages long. They're jammed with legal jargon, you know, that anyone might struggle to kind of understand and communicate to a parent. So I really do see both sides of it. And again, that's why we created the Village. So if you're struggling to understand your child's IEP at all, or if you just need some clarity.
I'm going to cut it off there. She starts promoting her own stuff. So she's promoting a service she's doing, I guess. Okay, that seems normal, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, at that point, it's, I get it. Like, she's like, she's being kind, right? She's like, no, I get it. Teachers are overwhelmed. Things happen. It starts off the way it's supposed to go, right? I'm so yes. scared. I don't know how it's going to turn because right now it's,
I know. Fine. She posts that and I'm like, yeah. Okay, good. We're cool.
She
gets it.
Oh, cool. She understands. We're cool. Yeah.
No. She comes out with a third video, which I think is based off the same comment.
Okay. Yeah.
This is where I'm like, what happened?
Yeah.
What happened in between?
Yeah. Because that was completely kind. Yeah.
And she blocked out the name of the person who said it. Mm-hmm. Now, this is the third video where she's addressing the issue. She sure. uses the same comment.
Okay.
She does not block their name this time.
Okay.
And then says some things.
I waited quite a while to make a response to this video that ruffled so many feathers because the response from educators was truly alarming, really scary even. I have been super blessed. My son's teachers are on our team. They have been wonderful. They are informative. They are supportive. They are there for us whenever we need them, even if I need a quick meeting in the summer. It's not been a problem. But the response that we got from this post from educators was a little bit scary. The thing that I think some teachers, not all teachers obviously, may fail to realize is they are the service provider and I am the receiver of that service. I'm the customer, the mom, the parent. I'm the customer and the receiver of your service. My child is the beneficiary of the service that you're providing. I go to the grocery store, I pick out the food. I decide what my kids are eating. I decide how I'm gonna cook it. I decide what's going on. I go through the line, I pay the cashier. Okay, to provide that service to me. I go home, I cook the food, my kids are the beneficiary of that service that I was the customer of. The same dynamic applies in the schools. Teachers are providing the service, the parent, okay, is the receiver of that service. I know what's best for my kid, I'm gonna show up informed, and we're helping other parents to get informed so when they go into the school system and are faced with teachers like this one, okay, they are armed with information and they're not afraid to speak up and advocate for their child when they're dealing with someone who thinks like this. We can all agree that teachers are overwhelmed, that teachers do not get paid enough. I'm on board with all of those arguments. However, if you are there, let's reframe our thinking a little bit and put the parent at the center of the conversation, the parent who knows their child best, who is informed and who's there to advocate on their behalf. Okay, put the parent in the center of the conversation and realize that you're there to provide a service to that parent. Thank you so much.
Like, no, I guess, first off.
I'm like, I was screaming when she's like, It's customer service. I said, oh, here we go.
What you do.
Karen, get out of here. I'm the customer, and the customer's always right.
Well, first of all, and there's nothing wrong with being like, and this is because I want to be very careful. This is me always overthinking everything. I'm not talking down about like people that work at a supermarket checkout, like people that work at that's a great job.
Sure.
But like they're it's to talk about them as if they're service workers, right? Like it's, right. I was a service worker for many time. Like I my like
for there's many nothing time. Wrong with
for many
I was
time.
One for many times.
I was one for many time for a long time, right? There's nothing wrong yeah. with that. It's a different.
Of course not.
It's an entirely different. Like it's not you can't they're not comparable like, it's not the
no.
same thing.
It's literally like just by definition that is mm-hmm. incorrect as to yeah. what a teacher is to a child.
Right The parent is not the client. First off, the parent, because also like let's be real here, there's a lot I don't know who how this person is as a I'm not judging her as a mom or as a caretaker.
Sure.
There's a lot of real shitty parents out there, all right, that do
yes
that do if they were servicing everything toward the parent, toward every individualized parent, it's not the individualized parent education plan, right? It's for the child because they are the ones, and I'm sorry, they don't parents don't always know. And this is me as a parent of two kids with IEPs. You need to have a team you can trust in that regard that you have to be able to look at as what who might know more than you do. And this is even as someone who is highly educated. My wife has a fucking master's degree in education, right? And so it's like, but it's like that we're both very, very educated on these issues. I've been an educator for over 20 or almost 20 years at this point, right? Even with those in mind, I still go in looking at that, look, especially with the care team, as the experts, not as the service providers. You are education experts in the fucking trenches at these schools, like that are in there every day, honestly, with our kids for many more hours than most parents are with their own kids, because most parents are full-time workers, mm-hmm. right, in that regard. And they should know more, like the best way, especially because they are trained in educational theory for a classroom, for how all these kids go into in pedagogy and they have the experience that goes into it. And it's not to say you don't know a lot about what works best for your child. You absolutely should, and you absolutely should have a say in that. But it should be teamwork. It's not client-based. All right, I need you to change everything you know about your classroom because I know what's best. It's like, that's not how education works. That's not how classrooms works. That's not how a educational system works. In fact, that's what part of the problem with a lot of these fucking, like really more conservative areas that are giving so much more power to the parents and making unsafe environments for the kids where they don't feel like they are safe. The whole point of a school is that it's supposed to be kind of a separate thing, right? It's right. a separate, safe environment. A lot of these kids, it's the only place they are getting caregiving. It's a lot of place they're only getting like consistent meals, right? Sometimes it's the only place where they're being spoken to like a human being, right? Their identities are being affirmed. And I know that's controversial, the fucking transphobes out there, but like, you know, right. where trans kids can actually have their name that they want to be called, and that's going away in a lot of places, right? Yeah. And so the I'm sorry, like that annoys the shit out of me. I know when we go into our meetings with our school, our first thing is always, and there are exceptions. I've heard horror stories, right? Of shitty teachers exist. I know like people that I know many, I know shitty teachers, sure. shitty college professors exist, right? That exist. That's not saying that all teachers are equal and all teachers are great. Most teachers go into the profession because they want to help kids. Right. They want to educate. They want to do something. No one's going into education because that's where the big bucks are. Right. It's where
I'm in it for the money.
I'm in it for the why are you a teacher? For the money. You know, it's
the fame.
I got into it just for the fame, the acclaim,
the validation,
the respect from parents that you mm-hmm. get, you know, the way you look. No one's in it for that reason. And it pisses me off when people like it's the egocentrism of thinking it's only about and also it's not just about your child.
Right.
And it's about like the classroom community that exists out there. And I know an IEP, like I said, we've had struggles because sometimes your child does need your parent to be the biggest advocate, right? They should have that, right? That because at the end of the day, there are going to be things that the school misses. They don't have access to. That are there. I'm not fully writing off everything she's saying. I just don't like the notion that this peon of a teacher should be doing whatever the fuck I say because they are just there at my whim and I'm the customer and I'm always right. You're not though.
I think it shows a lack of understanding of what a teacher does mm-hmm. and what a teacher is. I mm-hmm. think saying that it's customer service is absurd.
Right.
It's incorrect, but it's also just absurd to say that that's the type of relationship and that's the type of work mm-hmm. that's going on there. I feel like there's an entitlement that's going on there and a mm-hmm. degradation of the profession.
Right.
I think it's really degrading to say that that's what a teacher is. Mm-hmm. Not because the profession is degrading, but mm-hmm. because of the way that it views the relationship.
Right.
I think that is not a fair and accurate description. Mm-hmm. And I also think, to your point, like, best case scenario, the parent has the best intention, is doing the best mm-hmm. to advocate for their child. Mm-hmm. Even then, so you're not acknowledging what the teacher is bringing to the table in that mm-hmm. case and the dynamics of the classroom. But as I've learned from, you know, I have friends that are teachers. My sister's, as I said, is an OT. It's like mm-hmm. often it's the parent mm-hmm. that is causing the issue because they're not following through on the plan. They are doing things at home, like, you know, giving the kid a screen for hours. Mm-hmm. And then that's what the child uses to regulate. And then they're mm-hmm. getting in the classroom and they're not getting their iPad or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge problem. And there's lots of examples of that, of like, there's a plan that is not followed at home. And the teacher is not supported by the parent. So this idea that, well, you should just do what the parent says mm-hmm. is not going to work. And mm-hmm. we all know that. But I think additionally, I am very alarmed when parents center themselves
right.
in discussions about their children. And right. I don't mean, like, obviously a child cannot advocate for themselves. And particularly if your child has any disabilities, impairments, or anything mm-hmm. that stops them from being able to be their own advocate. Like, mm-hmm. of course you as the parent step in and that is your role, but that's not even what she's saying. She's not saying like, my child is the center and because I am needed to make sure their needs are fulfilled, mm-hmm. then I become the mouthpiece or whatever. She's saying I am the center, mm-hmm. I as the parent. And to me, that is always a dangerous mm-hmm. when I hear that, like, that's a red flag to me.
Yeah.
That you are, this is about you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what specifically is going on. I don't know if, like, clearly that's her business is mm-hmm. this type of stuff. But it's like, it makes me feel like you need to be in control and the power and the authority and you want to assert mm-hmm. your authority. So to me, this is where I say, okay, now, hold on.
Yeah.
Now I am not with what you're saying. There's another mm-hmm. video. Do you have any more comments before we?
No, I really want to stress, like your teacher is not your employee, right? You are not the customer. You are not the boss of the teacher. That's not how this functions, right?
Right.
And there's always the and it's something I've dealt with even with, because I'll have parent. I can't, like, luckily I'm in college, like, I can just say fuck you if a parent message. I don't have to say shit to parents as
right.
a even technically even if I have a minor in my classroom, if they sign up for a college course, they at least at my college, they basically, their parents have to sign off saying that they don't have access without
sure.
It's a long story. Anyways, but I'm like, I know what's best for my classroom. If you don't think what's best, if you don't think I know what's best in my classroom, then honestly, then you can then homeschool your kid. Then go somewhere else. I was hired with the expectation that I am an expert on this subject matter and how to run this classroom in a way that's best, once again, for this whole room full of students.
Right.
Right. And I'm wondering if, you know, a part of it, like, maybe it gives me a better perspective when I approach these things as a parent.
Right.
It's because of that. I already have that perspective as a teacher. But I get so annoyed by the idea of, like, because also, like, my child is more important than the other kids to me. My child is
right.
not more important than the other kids in general. Right. Every one of those the children in that classroom deserves an equal education. And your job is to make sure that your child is getting that same education, right? Not that you are that you personally are getting every one of your requests and whims satiated by this teacher that you view as someone less than you, right? When it's clearly they are an expert, they are a trained professional who has gotten education and lived work experience in this classroom every day, and they have to, even if you disagree. Like I said, we have one of my children. I'm not sure. I don't know how many. If, I know some of them listen to my, like some of the teachers at the school listen to my podcast. They listen to our podcast. So it was, which has made me feel very uncomfortable talking about things. But there was one teacher that I think was doing a shitty job as a teacher. And this is like, and I hate saying that because I always give the benefit of the doubt, right? That does happen. It's fucking rare though. It's not as common as I think a lot of parents that talk like this want to make it out to be. I think even in shitty situations, it's not the teacher usually, it's the situation as a whole. It's the funding from the school. It's the system that they are in, and not necessarily the teacher.
Even if it was the teacher, like, mm-hmm. absolutely advocate. And there's systems in place for that. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even, like, there are cases that teachers aren't supporting the students the way they should. There are teachers mm-hmm. who, like, I literally had a teacher, I went to Catholic school, who told mm-hmm. me I had a black soul in first grade. Okay. Like, she was evil. She's a very evil nun. Mm-hmm. That was a problem, right? That's mm-hmm. real. There, you know, some teachers don't like kids, and mm-hmm. then they, you know, it's possible
it happens. It does exist, and this is not,
But what we're talking about is mm-hmm. an unrealistic expectation from a parent mm-hmm. that a teacher is subservient to them. And like mm-hmm. this expands far beyond just people with IEPs, just children with IEPs and families. It's like you see the same thing where like kids don't get their assignments done mm-hmm. and they go to the teacher and they're like, well, change their grade. Mm-hmm. You can't fail them. It's like, well, they didn't turn anything in. Like parents wanting the teacher to be accountable. There's been a big shift from teachers mm-hmm. that I know who basically it's like it used to be the kids would get in trouble for what happened at school. And now mm-hmm. a lot of parents want the teacher to be in trouble. Mm-hmm. This is your fault. And like, I'm sure there's cases where it is, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of cases where it's not. And that's why, you know, you hear about teachers leaving all the time. They're like, I don't feel safe in my classroom. Right. I don't feel like I can control what's going on. Like I'm physically not safe. And mm-hmm. then you have, you know, just like parents expecting me to solve their problems or to not hold their children accountable mm-hmm. in this school system that's very, very black and white, where I tell them what they have to do and they choose not to do it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's I have a lot of sympathy for teachers right now. Right. And I think the attitude of literally comparing it to a cashier, mm-hmm. your teacher's the cashier. It is wild, especially because like that is basically saying that like you're doing all the work and they're just doing a transaction.
Right.
It's like the teacher's doing a lot of work mm-hmm. in the classroom, and kids are different in school than at home. Like mm-hmm. I just think it's highlighting an issue. So let's go to the next video. Sure. I have not seen this video.
Okay.
Also, I think her calling it like scary. It's scary. I'm so scared mm-hmm. by teachers pushing back. I feel like that's a little disingenuous to like people don't like what you said.
Right.
But I don't know. It just made it seem like there's a danger. You know, mm-hmm. I'm like, I feel teachers are human beings and they're allowed to have opinions online. They're not your child's teacher.
Right.
Like if your child's teacher said, F no, don't bug me. Mm-hmm. Online, maybe that would be a problem. But like a random person online, they're not expected to mask or be professional mm-hmm. towards you. They don't know you.
And we also don't even know if this person that responded is a teacher that wrote that comment.
Oh, that's fair. You know, that's fair.
They could have just said, fuck no. If I'm a teacher, don't bug me.
It's not even a teacher.
Yeah, it could just be somebody like, fuck you.
Well, and I think it's very fascinating that she responded really nicely and then came back for the same comment.
That's very weird.
Which is completely different. I'm like, I feel like it's grandstanding. It's like, you know, I thought about this and actually I'm kind of pissed off. Yeah. I feel like the second video is more the true nature of this person.
Yeah.
Or the third, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
The true nature.
The first was the second video was the mask. Like, it's mm-hmm. the immediate, I'm supposed to say this sort of thing.
Yes.
And she's like, you know what? This bugged me.
Actually, I'm the customer.
Actually, this is not going to help me sell more of my whatever courses that I'm selling, which she is.
Yes, she is. I forgot to say this. The title of that last video was "An IEP Meeting Isn't a Favor." It's like, right, but if you do it during the summer when they're off, because at that point it's clear she is expecting the teacher to come in.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to the last video. Parents don't need a degree to advocate for their child.
Which on the surface, agreed. I agree. There's nothing wrong with that statement.
Maybe she'll win us back.
Let's see. Let's find out.
Good morning. First of all, thank you guys so much for the 300,000 views on this page in such a short time. The response has been passionate, a little overwhelming, but thank you. I really appreciate all of the, dialogue that's happening in the comments. One of the comments that we got a lot was, well, what are your credentials? Who are you to be giving advice or having any kind of opinion on your own child's education? And I think that is really central to the problem a lot of parents are facing right now, which is this idea that they are not qualified to have an opinion in their own child's education. This idea that you have to be a degreed professional to have an opinion or form a direction for your own child's education it's wrong. It's wrong and it's crazy to me. I am the mother and I absolutely have the right to demand what my child is entitled to, and I absolutely have the right to direct the course of the conversation when it comes to his special education. So parents, if you are feeling belittled, put down, condescended to by your teachers, administration, your schools, in your IEP meetings, we're here for you, and just know that you have rights. You are entitled to the services and accommodations that your child is being offered in that IEP, and we're here for you. Keep fighting, keep going for it.
Here's the thing. There's a lot of there that I agree with in theory, right? And it's,
in theory,
because she's absolutely right, right? And you can apply that same logic to almost anything, right? I can have it like you see this a lot of times with medicine, right? You're like, well, I know something fucking wrong, and your doctor's like, you're fine. Right. You know, and you're like, well, I could.
Lost weight?
Yeah, something that's not it, right? And sometimes you do have to advocate for yourself, and you don't need a degree always. But at the end of the day, there's still. I think this comes down to a lot of the, at least what it feels like what she's getting at is your cat is just fucking like fuck you.
She's a Velcro cat, and she's very desperate to always be attached to me. If I shut the door, she flings her body into the door. And then hangs from it. So here we are. Carry on.
But I feel like this is a reflection, a continued reflection about how education and specialization and credentials are being belittled in this country. Like this feels
anti-intellectualism.
This feels like a MAHA kind of aspect of this, as opposed to an actual. Wanting to advocate for your child, because you absolutely right. There's you don't need a degree to in whatever it is you're talking about to be well educated and to learn about things, and that goes for a lot of different things. Right. But there is still something to be said about someone who did do those things, right? Who has that formal training, who has that formal background, sort of thing. There's times where I've gotten, and this is why I was talking about having it in the beginning, the whole point about why I think parents need advocates that are there, is because there were times I went into a meeting like fucking pissed, only to find that I was wrong, right? And this is
the worst.
It's the worst. And I'm like, didn't say it during the meeting because I'm smart enough to understand, like, I'm not sure about this, but I'm mad. And then I go home and research it. And I'm like, God damn it. All right.
Fine. You got me.
But that happens, right? You know, but the problem is I think a lot of people that are the angriest about these sort of things, people that in our comment sections that jump in about things all the time, are the last ones doing that work, right? You know, a lot of the people that are doing that work are not the ones. They're talking to ChatGPT and getting the response that they want. To be from that, which for those of you that don't know, AI is very infamous, all the AIs, for mm-hmm. giving you the answers that you want to get
it's
from
reflective.
It and finding a way to make you happy. Right.
Right.
It's a business model where you are the customer in AI world. Right. Mm-hmm. And so but I think that's a lot of times what they're where this is reflecting, where someone's like, all right, why? Well, when I asked ChatGPT and they said I was correct. Of course they fucking did. Right. Of course they did. And it's not to say you aren't. There are exceptions to this, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to get into that. I think I've given enough credence to the whole caveats to all this.
Right.
But I hate the notion, though, of the way she was talking about it. Like, these fucking teachers think they know everything. This therapist and occupational therapist and this school psychologist and the administrator, they think they fucking know what they're talking about when you just because they have these fancy schmancy degrees. A lot of times they do know what they're fucking talking about. And it's they doesn't mean, like, we've said enough times in this episode, there are shitty exceptions to this rule, right? But if you go in thinking, I know everything, I don't give a fuck what you guys say to me in this, you're setting yourself up to end up being, being proven wrong. And the example with my own daughter, like this kind of did happen where we knew what service she needed and we kept getting denied it over and over and over again until we finally got the right person that was like, oh, no, they're right. This is not saying you shouldn't continue advocating for certain things. There are mistakes that do happen out there. But I think the only reason we didn't grab a lawyer from the get-go is because we did feel like I was like, well, there's some experts here. And so we got to figure out why we're not seeing the same thing.
I agree with you. I think this has gotten into anti-intellectualism. Mm-hmm. I think it has gotten too far because mm-hmm. I am 100% overly an advocate for my child. Like mm-hmm. I will go above and beyond to make sure she is taken care of. I believe in that fully. I do mm-hmm. think there are things that don't happen unless you make them happen. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that should be the responsibility of the parent, but sometimes it is.
Right.
And so I am all for that. And that being said, sometimes it gets to a point where a parent is centering themselves, is mm-hmm. expecting too much, is, expecting the world of the mm-hmm. staff, the teachers, the administration, and then not doing their part at home. Like we had a, I'm going to try and say as little as I can and get my point across.
Sure.
We had a situation at my daughter's school where a child was getting violent, mm-hmm. Was violent in the classroom to started kind of with objects mm-hmm. and was destroying the classroom a little bit. And then I guess had been violent, but they weren't together until a camp.
Mm-hmm.
And this kid really whammed and slapped my child out of nowhere. And it had nothing to do with her. It was literally his own. He got violent when he was trying to regulate.
Sure.
And the parent was very advocated very much so mm-hmm. for the child to the degree of other kids were being harmed mm-hmm. and things weren't changing mm-hmm. because of the advocation, right? Mm-hmm. And so eventually, luckily, everything was communicated enough that the child then was able to be somewhere where they got the services they needed. Because mm-hmm. it wasn't a bad child. That's not what this was an issue of needs not being met.
Right.
And an environment that could not, they were, it was not a good environment for this child. And mm-hmm. then he therefore was making it not a good environment for other children. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, there are cases in which parents with good intention even
mm-hmm.
can miss impact that is happening because of, they're thinking of them, their child, and themselves.
Absolutely.
And not appreciating the grand scale of what it's doing to the classroom,
mm-hmm.
what it's doing to the, like, everyone should feel safe in the classroom, and that includes your child, mm-hmm. but it doesn't mean it's at the price of other people, right?
Right.
And I think, and I don't, it, not even just IEPs, again, I even just like, there are kids who do have really bad behaviors that are not from anything
mm-hmm.
other than like they're disruptive. Mm-hmm. And then the teacher's entire focus is trying to deal with these disruptive students, and then the other kids suffer. Like, there's just so many cases in which, you know, there needs to be involvement from the school, and the school needs to be listened to mm-hmm. about what's going on. And, like, I think there's a way to value the parent and what the parent knows. The parent does know the child better, you know, at a grand scale. Of course you know your children better, mm-hmm. but you don't know them at school. Mm-hmm. You don't see them at school. There is information you don't have. You don't know the other students as well. You don't know the dynamic of the classroom. And so I think there should be a way that you can be empowered as the parent without degrading the teacher, mm-hmm. without devaluing what the teacher brings. And that's where I think this video goes astray, mm-hmm. is like, we're getting into the point where she's trying to act like she knows so much, but also that the teacher doesn't.
Right.
Like, they're just a customer service person. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's a fair evaluation. And I think it's very dangerous to assume that you know everything, mm-hmm. and that the teacher should just do what you say. Mm-hmm. I think that's a dangerous position for you to be in, the teacher to be in, and the child to be in. Mm-hmm. And that's where it's different for me.
I think what gets to me about this person is just because it's very clear, and she's plugged herself multiple times in the video, so you know she's selling a product.
Hate it.
I feel like what she's taking advantage of is it is fucking hard to advocate for your child. It's what I started the entire – before I even knew what we were going to talk about really today. It is hard to get the services your child deserves, right? Sometimes it is hard to advocate for them because sometimes they are – acting differently in class. They are doing certain things. And so we are, you know, trying to find those certain things. And it can be extremely frustrating navigating that entire system. It can be extremely frustrating feeling like you're not being heard because of that disconnect and because of those differences that can be occurring in the situation. And because of the fact that, you know, it's hard to accept that your child is one of 30 or however many are in that classroom that exists there. And I feel like a lot of times these, and I don't know enough of this. I don't want to judge this entire woman's entire company based on these three videos that are there, but I do feel like there are people that are trying to take advantage of that grief and that anxiety and that pain of being a parent, especially of a child with a disability, but any parent is going through this sort of things. And feeling helpless and then trying to make money off of the people that are feeling that helplessness. And I don't like that. And it's not to say there shouldn't be businesses that exist out there that do these sort of things, but it just feels based on solely on this, like she's making things worse in order to sell her product.
I agree. I think she's encouraging a dynamic that is not healthy. Right. Like, I think there's a way to be empowered and not adversarial. Mm-hmm. And absolutely. To me, and I've seen it a lot mm-hmm. lately. I really do think it is MAGA and like that mentality, but a lot of spiritual, like there's mm-hmm. a lot of it going on mm-hmm. Where we're not trusting science. We're not trusting mm-hmm. Information. We're not trusting media. Like,
right.
And I wholeheartedly agree. There's disinformation places. I think any time like Big Pharma is mm-hmm. exists and has ulterior motives for everything they do. Like, that's mm-hmm. the nature of healthcare being for money. Like, right. they are, right. of course, they do things for profit. Like, mm-hmm. I am not saying by any means that they are completely justified or don't have bad intention ever, but I think we're seeing an uptick in people being incredibly adversarial mm-hmm. to professions that I would hope would be trying to help, and I think are trying to help. I don't think it's fair to set up this mentality of it's us against the teachers. Mm-hmm. I almost think it's coming from like an assumed persecution or like mm-hmm. an assumed authority. I know more than you.
Right.
I think that could be the case. I don't think it's always the case. Mm-hmm. And I think going into it, thinking that, like, I have to prove I know more. I feel like that really sets right. up an unhealthy dynamic. Mm-hmm. And, like, I know teachers and my sister even, I mm-hmm. won't get specifics, obviously, but, like, has faced people with this mentality, mm-hmm. which is, I know better than you. I know this. You don't tell me anything. You do what I say. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm trained. I'm telling you, with my years of experience, this is what is happening. And I want to find a solution with you, but like, it will not work if it's adversarial. Mm-hmm. Like, it just can't.
Right.
Like, you're a team. I think that's the part that's hard. And like, I guess I have a ton of empathy, especially for teachers right now, but anybody who's dealing with that dynamic, because it's like, I can't imagine how hard it is to just be trying to do your job.
Right.
And have these people coming in and like on the attack. Like, you're the one doing something wrong. You're against me. Like, I just think that must be such an immense pressure.
Absolutely.
Like, and then you multiply it by 30.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's one child.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I really disliked the attitude here.
Yeah.
I love advocation for your children. I'm all for it and always.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole like, it's customer. I'm the customer, me. I just think people are like centering their identity and like their value and their ability to like control and dominate these conversations. And that to me is very frightening. It gives Karen, it's the same thing, in my opinion, as like when people want to dominate people in the service industry because they need that sense of superiority.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, this is not the place for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, I think we're on the same page. There's so much nuance to this. And obviously it's very difficult to cover that in here. And I think we did a pretty good job of like, you know, at least backtracking on a lot of caveat. There was a lot because every time I say something, I'm like angry. I'm like, having said that, I get it. Like, because it is a weird dynamic, especially like having been on both sides of it.
Right.
I fully understand the frustration from both sides on there. But things always go better when there's at least some mutual respect that is there, and you're not entering it the situation like "fuck you," I'm gonna get everything I want because I know best, and you don't know shit. And I think if you enter any of those situations that way, then you're not even gonna like because at the end of the day, I'm sure there are exceptions, but most teachers, like, they would love it if your child is excelling, right?
Right.
The overwhelming majority, like 99%, I'd even say, want your child to excel. Because also, as a teacher, it makes our job so much easier when kids are excelling. Like,
And supported.
And supported. Like, the last thing I want is for one of my students to struggle. Like, I fucking love it when everyone's doing great in my classroom because it's less work for me. If I'm being honest, right? When everyone's doing great, when I just have one of those semesters where I'm like, I'm the greatest teacher. It's not me. It's just that classroom I got, right? Nothing makes a teacher happier when everything's flowing correctly. So the idea that they're setting your child up for failure is kind of absurd because it's even if they were, you know, looking to do less work or looking for the easy way out, it makes their life harder as teachers when your child is struggling. And so it's like, even if you're looking at it from the worst case scenario, it still is, it's going to serve your child. Like they want your child to succeed. So.
And I think like just understanding that, again, you can advocate.
Right.
You should want the most for your child, and you should make sure they're getting what they deserve. I think all of that is true.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you don't then have to try to exert dominance over the teacher. You don't have to degrade what they know.
The centering should always be your child.
Yes, right? Agreed.
By both parties. The centering should not be the teacher. The centering should not be the parent. The centering should always be. And if you can find that, and it doesn't always happen that way. I think there is a push and shove on that regard. But ideally, that's the goal. And the fact that she so blatantly said, I'm the center of this one.
I am the captain now.
That tells me, I think that's what it puts us as listeners of her videos to the idea of like, okay, well, why don't you mean you're like, even if she were to say to my child, I disagree, like, I don't like the customer analogy, but even if she were to say like, my child is the customer of this classroom right here, that's still 100 times better than the way she framed it. So
yeah, agreed.
Anywho.
Center the children. Center that's the our children. Message.
Mm-hmm. That's what I mean. As far as like do what's best, ideally everyone's doing what's best. And I know there are shitty situations. I've been in a shitty situation, that for these sort of things. But I think there's a way to approach it. And there's a way to do it that still puts your child at the center. And this wasn't it.
And we love teachers, and we're sorry for any teachers who have had to deal with said attitude.
Yes. We love you all.
Friends, we love you all. And we love all of you.
Yes.
All of you. Thank you for listening. As you know, we have the Patreon, so we have an episode each week. Mm-hmm. And check out our socials. Other than that.
Love you. Bye.
Love you all. Bye.